Well, good morning. How y'all doing? You want to turn me down a little, Steve? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now, I'll be honest, I don't teach that much now, and I have a certain few lessons that I really enjoy teaching, really like, that I think are important, and their message needs to be told. And sometimes, and I'm not sure if I've used this one or not over here, I'm going to write down my date on it today that I used it. I won't use it again for a long time. But anyway, whether I did or didn't, Fred asked me to teach, and when he did, just almost immediately this lesson came to my mind, and I feel like it's what God wants us to look at today. And I tell you, we live in a day that, you know, or at least I see, and I believe anybody that is spiritually minded and has been in this thing any length of time at all, we're beginning to see the values that have long been taught and preached and I believe are scriptural. We're beginning to see them just slip away and, you know, be put by the wayside. And I think it's really important that we stay with the Word of God. You know, what my opinion or your opinion is really irrelevant. But let's stay with the Word of God and base our lives on what it tells us to do. And I think that when we do that, we'll never go wrong. In this scripture, though, we're going to be looking at just a thought in this passage, and the thought is found in the very first two lines, where it says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." Revelation 3. I hope I didn't say 22. It's verse 2. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Let's go back and catch that first verse 2. And the angel of the church, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that, let me start that again. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. This next phrase should wake every one of us up. And we need to take this verse, this phrase right here to heart, because he says, "I know thy works." God knows what we're doing. He knows what our works are. We can't con him. And he knows what our thoughts and our intents are. But he says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." And then, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." If you will, too, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. In this verse, he said, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we start. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you if you will to lead us in prayer. I think it's so easy for us, and I'll speak maybe mainly to myself here, that it's easy sometimes for us to get careless and to let things just slip away and maybe not place the importance on them that we used to. You can look through the Bible, I think, and you can see people that have done this. David comes to mind real quick. David was a mighty man of God. I don't know many people that would stand up against a giant when you were 12, 13 years old. You just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I'm a whole lot older than that. I wouldn't stand up against a giant right now. Hopefully I would have the faith that David did, but I don't know if I would or not. But David, he slew a bear with a slingshot. He slew a giant with a slingshot. He was a man of faith. And he was a man that later on God would say he was a man that was after his own heart. Not many people God said that about. But yet you see, David began to get careless. He began to look after he became king of Israel. He had all of his power. He had all of his fine things. And he thought that he could go up on the rooftop and gaze at a lady, I'll use that loosely, taking a bath on an adjacent rooftop and then carry out his sin, it would be all right. He was the king of Israel. It didn't matter. Who would he answer to? God showed him. But do you think he would have done that earlier in his life? Probably not. Because he trusted in God. But then, at that point in his life, I believe David began to trust in the strength of the army of Israel, the strength of the office that he was sitting in, and the fact that he was the king of Israel. And he had let his faith, his trust in God, just gradually slip away. Sometimes I can be about as clumsy as anybody you've ever seen. And Ginger, when we got married, thankfully, we got these Corelle dishes. Y'all know what those things are. And back when we got married, they were real thin, little flimsy-looking things. But, man, those things were tough as nails. And I'm bad to reach up there and not watch what I'm doing or something, grab a cup or something, and that thing slip out of my hand. Now, there's two things going to happen. If you're lucky, when that thing falls, if it falls on the counter or on the floor, especially that Corelle, it's either going to shatter into a million pieces, or, if you're lucky, it'll bounce. But most of the time, irregardless of when you let something slip, some damage is going to be done. It may be nicked. It may be bruised. If you drop a banana or a fruit or a vegetable or something, you drop it on the floor or something, when that thing hits the ground, it's going to be bruised. Or that corral, the dish, the cup, when it falls, most of the time it's going to be broken, shattered. Because David let the things that he had been taught as a child, he let those things slip. It wasn't intentional. I don't think you could ever say that David intentionally intended to do what he did. But he just let some things slip, some values. And because of that, his life was shattered. You say, well, God restored him. He did this, he did that. And he did. But yet look at the price that David paid. David paid with the lives of his children. He paid with his own testimony. What a terrible thing. Then I look at another one that always comes to mind. A guy that just, even when I read his story, as many times as I've read it, it just amazes me how a man could do the things that he did. And that's Samson. I can't imagine a man being that strong. Hal amazes me how strong he is. I tell you, Hal's a strong man. I'm glad he's on my side. But could you imagine being able to reach down and pick up the jawbone, as the Bible says, the jawbone of an ass? Which ain't a very sharp thing. Could you imagine being able to reach down and pick up a jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 men? I can't imagine that kind of power. And if you read on in his story, he does, as a child, it says that he killed a lion with basically his bare hands. And the Bible says that he killed it as easy as he would have a sheep. Amazing. I tell you what, a lion, I would hate to have to face a lion on anything with any gun I've got. I wouldn't want to face a lion. I think he'd still get to me. But yet, he killed that lion with his bare hands as a child. But you know what? If you read the story of Samson, another thing that happens with Samson is this. Before he done those things, those miracles, those great feats of strength, the Bible always says this, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Now, what's the lesson in that for me and you? God is not interested in my abilities, yours either. You know what he's interested in? Your availability. And then when his Spirit comes upon us, when we're led by his Spirit, we can accomplish great things through him. But when we get to where we think we can do it on our own, bad things happen. Another thing that Samson did, one night as he slept, the Philistines had already said, we're going to get him. We're going to wait till the morning, and we're going to kill him. During the night, they were camped around the city. He went and totally just tore off the gates of the city with an iron bar and everything. I don't know how big those gates were. They had to be huge. And he carried them up into the mountain, hid them from. So he's basically telling them, I can get to you anytime I want you. Anytime that I want to take care of you, I can do it. But yet, you know what? Through all of this, Samson had a weakness. His weakness was women. And at different times, he would say, well, and it seemed like he never wanted to go with the ladies that he was supposed to, or the lady. He wanted to go to the women of the enemy, the Philistines, every time. And he done it arrogantly. And his father many times advised him, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But yet, what did he do? Yep, he did it. See, he let some things slip. He let some things slip away, some values that he had been taught as a child. And Samson was a judge. He was a judge in Israel that time. There was no king. And he was the one that was an authority figure for Israel at that time. But yet, in all the great things that he did, he still let these things slip away. And he failed God. Because of that, he went to one too many women, one too many times. And y'all know the story. But the Bible says, and I think this is a sad commentary, it says that Samson killed more people through his death than he did while he was living. I think that's sad. How could Samson been used by God if he had followed him? But Samson chose to let things slip. And as a church, you know, I think, and as Christians today, that we need to really be careful, watchful, that we don't let things slip. And instead, and I think that y'all will agree too, that when we let things slip a lot of times, it's because our grip, we're not holding whatever slips, whether it be a rope, a dish, or whatever. We're not holding that object as tightly as we should be holding it. So instead of weakening, we need to strengthen. And that's what the Bible's talking about here in Revelation chapter 3. Is we need, there's some things that we need to strengthen. Well, let's look at just a few things and think about some things that maybe we need to strengthen individually and then collectively as a church. First thing we need to strengthen is our attitude and our love for the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. You know, I believe that when God sends a message, whether it's through a pastor or if he sends a lesson through a Sunday school teacher, then there's a reason for that lesson, that message being sent. And that reason is somebody needs to hear it. People need to hear it. And I believe that God sends a message for two reasons. One, there's people already involved in whatever sin is being preached about, or we'll just say in sin, period. Or maybe, and God's saying, it's time to stop. It's time to get out. It's time to repent. And it's time to get back in fellowship with me. Or it's sent as a warning not to sin. You know, maybe they may be a trap laying up ahead for you that you don't even know about, that the devil has got for you. They may be a valley that you're going to go through that might be so deep and so hard and so long that you'll even begin to doubt whether or not there's a God. You'll doubt your relationship with Him, where you stand with Him. But God sometimes does that. He sends a message, a lesson, as a warning for us, so that when we go through these times, that we'll keep our eyes on Him, that we won't look to the world, that we won't listen to the world, but we'll look to this book and what it says, and we'll study it, and we'll pray, and we'll stay in contact with God. And I tell you, folks, when we're going through those times a lot of time, and I guess I'm talking more now about the valleys, about the times when we're going through these struggles, the devil, he's a whole lot smarter than we give him credit for. I'm thankful that we can be victorious through Jesus Christ. But he can play tricks on you and play tricks on your mind. And he can use other people to discourage you and to get you to look away from him. And in those times, man, a lot of times you'll pray and it just seems like, I say they get to the ceiling, sometimes you don't even feel like they get that high. But yet, we always know, and we can bank on the fact, that God's Word is true. His promises are true. And what He says, He'll do. And we don't have to worry about that. But that's the reason that God sends a message or a lesson for us to hear. I know many times that when I have went through problems and low points in my life, I've always been able to look back to something that God spoke, or some way that God spoke to me, either through a message or a song or through His Word literally, that I can say, yeah, I remember Him saying that. I can keep on. But God's Word is, man, this book, there's nothing in the world like it. There's never been a book like it. Think about it. A book being preserved as long as it has and still be relevant as it is. That's an amazing thing. There's no man could put this book together. We know it has to be God. Why is it important for us to strengthen our love for the Word of God? Well, let's look at why is the Word of God important to us. Well, one thing, without God's Word, we have no salvation. We have no salvation. Because His Word brings us His Word is the roadmap that tells us how to get to God. Without Him, how would we know? Without this Word, but it's the basis of our salvation. If you look at, and I want to just show you a couple of my favorites. Look at 2 Timothy 1:12. When I was a young Christian, you know, I made the statement a lot of times that me and my brother and my sister, we were on drugs before it was a cool thing to do. We were drugged from this revival meeting to that revival meeting and to the next revival meeting. I mean, Dad thought when we were growing up, if we missed one, it was just about an eternal sin, I think. I mean, we were going just about every night to some revival meet somewhere. And there were a lot of good things that came out of that. But a bad thing that came out of it was I heard a lot of things that were said inside that church house. And, you know, I was brought up to reverence the house of God, reverence the man of God and what went on inside the house of God. And especially at a young age, I didn't know how to maybe decipher which one was maybe right and which one was wrong. And the preaching that I heard was sound. If it wouldn't have been, Daddy wouldn't have carried us to hear it. But a lot of times, you know, people get up and say things in church that really they shouldn't say. And I've heard people say things, well, boy, I got saved, and when I got saved, I saw lights flashing, I heard horns blowing, and boy, I shouted all over that church. And I'll just tell you this, if you didn't shout when you got saved, you ain't got it. Well, you know, I think about that. And I thought, well, didn't hear no horns blowing. I didn't see no lights flashing. And I sure didn't shout all over the church because I got saved at home. Not too sure if that's right. I don't know if you can get saved at home or not. So, do I have it? And you know, our good friend Lucifer, he'll come up to you. You ain't got it. You missed it, bud. I hate to tell you, you missed it. And man, I wrestled with that. And in my wrestling, and when it would discourage me, I talked to Mom and Dad about it. And I guess Mom more than Dad, because she is at home during the day, and I like to worry her to death about it. And finally she told me, she came to this passage right here. And she said, Tim, I want you to look at this. And she said, this ain't me. This ain't your dad. This ain't nobody but God saying this. And she said, I want to read this to you. She said, I believe if you'll claim it, I don't believe you'll have no more trouble. Here's what it says. For the which cause I also suffered these things. But Paul said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, I'm glad that when we put our faith and trust in him, he'll never let us down. And I'm glad that when we know that our salvation and us keeping our salvation is not dependent on us, but it's dependent on him, it takes the worries away. I'll tell you that. And thank the Lord, I haven't doubted anymore since then. But then I looked over there and I read this. In John 10:26, it says, but ye believe not, but ye are not my sheep. And I said unto you, listen to this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, I love that verse right there. I'm going to read that again. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So not only are we in Jesus' hand, but we're in the Father's hand too. That's pretty good security, isn't it? I think that's eternal, about as good as eternal security as you can get right there. And then it said, I and my Father are one. I'm so thankful that my salvation is not dependent on me, but it's dependent on Him. But how would I know that if it wasn't for the Word of God? I wouldn't. So we need to strengthen our attitude and our love for the Word of God. He tells us in Psalms 119, 105, that Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder, soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then he tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I tell you, I'm thankful for the Word of God. And if I get a chance, whenever I teach again, I'll finish this thing up. But we need to strengthen our attitude and our love for the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Hal, you pray for us, please.